Oh, hi, podcast listeners. There's many ways you can listen to the Real Nerds Podcast. You can subscribe on iTunes. You can also subscribe on Stitcher Radio. You want to send us a Twitter message? You can do that. It's so easy, at Real Nerds. Like us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast. You can visit our website, realnerdspodcast.com, where there'll be a lot of articles for you to not only read, but to listen to our previous shows. Do you like your stories told through pictures? Then you can also follow us at Real Nerds on Instagram. You can also call us, 720-6NERDS5. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Camera, action!
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd
doesn't
can...
Doesn't talk film! I'm sorry.
Take it outside.
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd will give it all they got. Lights, camera, action!
Hey, 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 you are so lucky. You have picked the greatest movie podcast on the internet to listen to, The Real Nerds, where every week we see a new movie and we podcast our experience to the world. I am joined always as with my buddy, my pal, my amigo, Brad. Hello, Brad.
Hey, what's up?
Oh, you know, a new week. We're getting closer to Denver Fan Expo. I see that you got the chandelier ready that we talked about last week. Dude, that looks incredible.
Thank you. It was a lot of work.
I can't believe you got it done. I mean,
I can't believe it exists.
Like, I know. Yeah. It is so impressive. And so thank you for that. And I bet people are going to be really impressed when they see it in our booth.
They
which you
better
can see
be.
At Denver Fan Expo, next week. So make sure you say hi to us. We'll be there.
Yep.
And we'll be giving off the vibes of 1990s Pizza Hut, and everyone will have fun with it. And they'll be like, oh my God, you guys are so cool. And we'll say, we know. And like, oh, please let us suck your nerd dick. And we'll be like, I know you
Whoa.
Can.
Whoa. Man, someone in the background found that really funny.
Yeah, my kid. So, you know, I'm probably the best dad in the world.
Definitely setting a good example.
Yeah, thanks, Kellen. Kellen said I am.
Definitely not the worst dad in the world.
Thank you. So, yeah, it's pretty cool.
Wait till he gets to know you.
Yeah, I know. And I won't be as cool.
Yeah, wait till those teen years.
I know. I keep on thinking of that Patton Oswalt bit where he says, he throws my, you know, Star Trek gun on the roof and he says, oh, come on, son. That's all I think about. He's going to take one of my Spider-Man figures and he'll say, climb and get it. Oh, come on, son.
Totally. Like this super jock and you're just being like, can't stop him.
No, that's all right.
Yeah, but we're also going to have a ton of cool swag to sell, kind of. Yeah.
Yeah, we should.
We got our pizza boxes. You're going to be able to get like some gift cards and some gummy pizzas and our glass and all kinds of comic books in a little Real Nerds branded pizza box. So,
yeah, and the pizza box is awesome. If you haven't seen our logo on our socials, it looks just like Pizza Hut, but it's a film strip. So,
yeah.
Kudos to you as well. And
take
Brad,
that.
I'm going to make a
copyright infringement.
Yeah, I'm going to make a prediction.
Okay.
At Denver Comic Fan Expo, I'm going to seek out. So he's a local artist named Travis Heimel, and he did Ninja Turtle covers, which you're a big fan of.
I should know this.
Yes. And I'm going to go up and see if he wants to do an interview on our show.
Oh, shit.
I'm going to do it, man.
I don't know if he can
do
it.
That's going to happen.
I think you're going to be too busy.
No, it's
doing other
happen,
interviews.
Dude.
Yeah.
No, I'm doing it. Sorry.
And then he's going to be too busy. He'll be like, he'll say he wants to do it, but then he'll be like, oh man, you know, like I got to stay at my booth and make money and not do your free podcast. So.
Yep. Yeah, but I'm going to see what happens, dude.
Okay. We'll see.
We'll see. Yeah. this week on Real Nerds, we saw A Quiet Place, day one. Stay tuned very soon because we'll recommend the film or not, play the trailer, then spoil it. We'll also talk about films we watch throughout the week and further nerd ramblings. Brad, do you recommend A Quiet Place, day one?
Yeah, actually. I did not expect this to be like a quiet, well, a quiet drama piece. You know, the trailer just made it seem like, hey, we're taking this in the action direction. So, you know, it's not going to be so much this meditative thing. It's going to be like, you know, the Transformers of A Quiet Place. it's not that. It's actually a really nice story of mostly these two people, once again, surviving this alien invasion. I enjoyed it. It didn't blow me away, but, you know, just as far as movies out there right now, it was just like kind of a nice, like, here's a competent, good movie. So there.
Yeah. I'm in agreement with you. I appreciated the character beats in this film. They did the character beats, and yeah, of course, the creatures are cool, but it's really nice that they're more interested in the characters and let them have moments of building who they are, and you understand immediately what's going on. It was super nice, and it fits right in with the other films. I think it holds its own with the other ones. So, yeah, go and see it. Here's the trailer for A Quiet Place, day one.
This Friday, what do we do?
Save everyone we can.
I have a plan.
So, like in the title, we're going back to the original invasion of the aliens, but this time we go from rural America to, you know,
big old New York City.
The big city of New York City. Wait, what am I trying to say?
The Big Apple.
The Big Apple. Thank you. Where we meet Samira, and she is living in hospice care. And she is the youngest one there. Most of the people in hospice, as everyone knows, is going to be the elderly. And she's grumpy and pissed because she shouldn't be there, and I get it. And then one day her nurse guy, who takes the group out to the city, they're going to a play. She doesn't want to go, but then he kind of convinces her to by saying they're going to pick up pizza. They go and watch a Marinette show. And as they're leaving, the emergency starts. And as the aliens invade, it definitely gives off a 9/11 vibe. And so she has to find a way to survive. Along the way, we also meet Eric, who keeps following her cat, Frodo, who keeps on getting away, but he keeps following it. The cat keeps on leading him out of danger, and he has nowhere to go, and he kind of tags along with Samira to go get pizza in Harlem, and the story builds from there and why she needs to go there, and you learn that she's a poet and a very accomplished writer. And it's all taken from her because of a form of cancer. and it's heartbreaking, and the character moments are great. You know, and then the monsters attack every once in a while. But man, it was tugging on my heartstrings where she went to the bar where her father played, and they did kind of like a magic show, and there's really no dialogue, but the music and the acting is so beautiful in that part, and I enjoyed it immensely.
Yeah, best part of the movie right there, for sure.
Yeah, it's just wonderful.
I think you covered it all. that's pretty much it. Yeah, touch on how Eric's there because he's from Britain, I'm pretty sure, right?
Yeah.
And
that's right.
Yeah, he's trying to go to college or finance college or something in New York, and then this happened. So he's like, he's away from his family. He's got no one else, and he's scared and young and doesn't know what to do. So yeah, he follows Samira's cat, and there was one part where the cat like wanders into the nest of the creatures.
I know.
And he has to climb the girder to get the cat when the cat has clearly demonstrated that it can go where it wants whenever it wants.
Yeah.
So there's really no need. He can just wait it out, but still he puts himself in a situation to possibly be killed.
And when he's trying to get Samira's medicine, you know, if that was me, I'd be, you know, I should just get her medicine. I've been around this cat long enough that's eventually going to show up again, you know?
Yeah.
And that's kind of a running joke throughout the movie, as the cat keeps showing up.
The cat is not affected by this invasion at all.
No.
Weirdly, never meows at all. Is very present in the fact that it shouldn't, I guess. But yeah, I'm just surprised that I guess at one point it does like walk over or something that like rings a bell. So,
yeah. And honestly, that's what kept it from being like a 5-star movie for me. It's not that the scene is not well shot or anything. It's just the dude's so stupid, and they'd only, I don't know. It just seems really stupid. it kind of took me out of the movie for a second. I'm like, dude, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, it just seems engineered to like add another tense scene to the movie, and then also kind of, I don't know, show you, hey, this is how these creatures multiply and breed, and very much like Alien. They have little pods that they, I don't know, they ate the pods too, so I don't know what that was about.
Yeah, I don't know either, because did even a little like baby one come out of it? I don't remember seeing it.
Yeah, I can't remember. And then there's also that dumb death where the nurse, they're all sitting around the, I think, church talking, and then the generator goes off, and so that dude runs to stop it. It's like,
I know, I think, like, just let it run.
Just let it run. Like, let the creatures destroy it. And so, yeah, he turns it off, and then his shirt rips, and it's apparently the loudest thing in the room is a shirt ripping, and so he gets slaughtered. So that was kind of like a really contrived way to get him out of the movie.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it's like, dude, so they're like, why are you bothering with this? You've seen the car alarms go off and the creatures go to it. Like, just let them go to it.
agree.
Would probably save everyone because they'd be distracted. Yeah.
Lupita Nyong'o is so good in this movie, too. She's such a great actress. I love her in everything she does.
Oh yeah, I love her mission to get the pizza too. Just she's relentless in it, like, and yeah, she kind of has that luxury because she knows that she's gonna die anyway, so there's no reason to be precious about her life. So, eventually she kind of does because she kind of puts it all on the line to help Eric. There's also a cool tie-in, Jaimin Hansu's character. You see him and his family at the beginning and the end, and how they're
taking
already
Eric to that island in Quiet Place 2.
Yeah, was Eric in Quiet Place 2?
I don't think so. I think it's just introducing, Henry and his family to us, and like this is how they got out of New York and got to the island. And
yeah, he figures out how the creatures operate very quickly, which I don't know. Seems a little lucky for him, but yeah.
Yeah, some people are smarter than us, I guess.
Yeah, clearly that dude's, yeah. The rest of New York, very much not so much. And there's that dumb sequence where, like, all those people are wandering through New York as, like, this one wave of mass people. And, like, I would never walk close to other people in this situation.
No. I'd wait for everybody to leave, and then I, like, oh, they can't swim? I'm sure there's a boat that I could get on. And
yeah, it's like driving. Just stay away from the other cars as much as possible, and you'll be better off.
Agreed. Yeah, the movie's really good, though. It definitely, it's a cool series, because I think each one of the films in the Quiet Place series are all really good. So the quality stays there. And
yeah,
I'm sure it helps that John Krasinski, even though he's not directing it, he kind of is the guiding light for it all. So
yeah, and I like that the fact that they're not just constantly following the same family. Like, this is a world where you can, like, just do, you know, separate isolated stories about this global event. So you just pop in on different countries or, you know, different, I don't know, human situations that, yeah.
Agreed.
Like, what's it like for these people? So,
yeah,
they definitely extend this franchise that way, for sure.
Sweet.
Yep.
Yeah. So I got every week. We also watch films that aren't the film of the week in a segment I call What We've Been Watching.
So, yeah, this is the stuff we've been watching.
Brad, what'd you watch?
Two big things and then one little small one. I saw a movie from 1959 called A Bucket of Blood, which we didn't do news this week, but Roger Corman died.
Yes. Did he die this week?
Yep, that's why this movie was on the docket. Or maybe it was last week.
Yeah, Roger Corman's very instrumental in finding ways to make movies on the cheap and making them successful.
Yeah. Yeah, this one's from 1959. Like, it was, I didn't just seek it out. It was with a group of people. We were watching a bunch of movies. And so, yeah, this is what I watched. It stars Dick Miller, who you've seen in a ton of, like, he's like usually the old uncle or neighbor or from the, like, most 80s movies. He's a busboy at a cafe, and he kind of wants to fit in, and so he's like doing like plaster casts of things, and then he like goes home, he's frustrated, and he ends up killing his landlady's cat on accident. He tries to hide the body by like putting it like in a sculpture. Everyone sees the sculpture and like, oh, what a like an amazing piece of art you made, you know, like not knowing there's like this actual cat with a knife in its body underneath. He starts getting a ton of attention and rises in popularity. And then, as things get like crazier, more elaborate, he just, you know, makes more mistakes. And then everyone eventually finds out that there's murdered people in his, you know, sculptures. And, yeah. So it's corny and, you know, the effects are typical 1959 special effects. Yeah, it's like, I don't know how to describe it. Like this typical like 1950s dialogue delivery. Yeah, it's all right. what else? Two big things I watched were the final The Room and the final Rocky Horror Picture Show at the Esquire.
Oh. Bummer.
Yeah, I've never seen. Obviously, I've seen The Room a bunch. I've gone every chance this year I had, and you know, it's a bittersweet. You know, it was sold out, it's packed, and for the first and final time, I remembered to bring a football with me. And intermittently, there's been like this one guy who always sits in the front row in the very middle, always gets that seat when he's there. And the last time or the time before he was there, he forgot his spoons. So he asked me if I could share my spoons, and I did. And so this time I asked him if he could be the guy I throw the football to. And so throughout the movie, whenever there's a football throwing scene, yeah, we got up and threw it around the room, and that was fun.
Nice.
Yeah. But we weren't the only ones there that did that. So,
yeah, you had a little snippet on your story, and it seemed there's a very raucous crowd.
Yeah. Like all these sold out crowds for the end of the year have been just amazing. Just, yeah. Everyone's so into it. Yeah, that's an experience I'm glad you got to have. And I don't know if I'm trying to get it to yeah, the bug, but
definitely an experience.
I can't get anyone from the room to like answer my emails. So yeah. And then, yeah, I have no idea if Landmark's going to push it to a different theater. Yeah. And then the Rocky Horror Picture Show. I've seen the movie. I've seen the play, or like a live element elsewhere, but never at the Esquire. And it's been there for like 20 plus years, and I've never bothered to go until the very last one, which was also sold out like months in advance. And, like The Room, you know, I'm not a huge fan of the movie itself alone, but the crowd definitely has an amazing energy to it. I was surprised that it was like the commentary, like in the, you were there for The Room where it's like, you watch a little bit of the movie and someone says something, you watch a little bit of the movie and someone says something. In this, the organizers are constantly commenting on something. Like there's always some like addition to the movie that's being made. I'm not even joking. For the whole runtime, there's no downtime of just like, let's just watch the movie and see what happens. Like there's like a response to every line of dialogue that's going on, every action. And then there's platforms in the front of the theater where they are, it's called a shadow cast. So they're recreating the movie live. So they've got props and costumes. And in this instance, they actually, because, you know, it's the last one, they had different actors play the characters throughout. So like, you know, there's a Frankenfurter for the first half of the movie, and then a different person plays Frankenfurter for the second half. And same thing for all the other characters. And it's really impressive. Like you think about like, oh, they've been doing this for 20 years, this live setup. You know, when a Meatloaf rolls in, they have like half of a motorcycle, like the front end that he's just rolling down the aisle to get the front of the room. And yeah, there's just other people walking down the aisles saying the jokes of the movie and stuff. There's one point where they made a comment about like, oh, there's also this like lead in where you have to like swear allegiance to the whatever movie itself or something. And they have this thing of like, if you don't like this, get the fuck out. And if you don't like this, get the fuck out. And if you don't like the Esquire being redeveloped into, or if you like the Esquire being redeveloped into condos and restaurants, get the fuck out. Stuff like that. It was a lot of fun and like less fluidy than I expected, because I don't know, like years ago I heard they like sprayed the audience with stuff and constantly, but yeah, there was really none of that. Like I think there's like a water gun at some point. Yeah. And they had this funeral for the Esquire in the parking lot beforehand, so there's like a bunch of merchants and live bands happening, and people are selling like these packs, like party packs that had like a toilet paper roll and other various things like throw across the room at certain points, you know. Yeah, it was fun. Like I part of me regretted that I hadn't done it more often up to this point. And they've found another venue in Aurora, so it'll continue elsewhere. But for the Esquire itself, like the vibe there is, I just think it was just so cool. So, yeah, that's what I watched this week.
Very cool. Mine's not quite as cool. I watched a film that one half was directed by George Romero and the other half was directed by Dario Argento. It's called Two Evil Eyes, and they take two stories from Edgar Allan Poe and made a film about it. The first one is this really old dude who's dying, and he has a young wife who's trying to get all of his money. He eventually, he dies before he can sign over all the money to her. And she uses this hypnotist to, well, sorry, it's really confusing. Anyways, she's the hypnotist for him to say that she gets all the money. Then he dies too early before she can get it all. So they keep his body in a freezer in the basement, and they can hear him communicating. And because he died when he was hypnotized, his soul is like wrapped. And because of that, you know, horror ensues. And it's fun. It's the one that's directed by George Romero. It has like a zombie in it and stuff. So definitely up his alley. The second one is Harvey Keitel, who is a photographer, and he has a, his wife is a musician who plays the violin and teaches students. And I don't know what it's about cats, but this one also has a cat in it. And the cat Harvey Keitel kills and publishes pictures of him torturing it, and it becomes like an art book. And when his wife finds out, she goes crazy, and he ends up killing her and putting her in the wall of their apartment. And she's eventually, her body's eventually discovered, decomposed, and inside her body is a litter of kittens. it's pretty grotesque, but it's like in a cool way.
Yeah, sounds awesome.
Yeah, so the movie's okay. You know, the Argento one is more fun. The Romero one is a little bizarre, but I mean, the special effects are done by Tom Savini, so the gore is pretty cool in both of the stories, and they're each exactly an hour. So it's kind of cool because they have room to breathe, as opposed to a lot of anthologies where, you know, they're maybe 10, 15 minutes long. So that was really cool. So yeah, it's called Two Evil Eyes. And it's a gory, fun movie. And the other thing I watched, and how I said, you know, I'm sometimes a bad dad. So Kellen sees that I'm doing this random movie generator thing, and he wanted to see a movie that randomly got picked. I'm like, yeah, sure. So the movie that got randomly picked was Atomic Blonde, which I didn't remember very well.
Yeah, me
either.
I know it has like a really long single take action sequence at the end.
Yeah, it's awesome. So there's some really cool moments in it, but there's also a hardcore lesbian sex scene that I totally forgot about. And I go, oh man, I'm not a very good dad right now. Because there's cussing and violence, and but you know, I think he enjoyed it. Yeah, but it's a cool movie. It's very stylish. You know, the director of that went on to direct, I think, Deadpool 2, and then a John Wick movie.
And The Fall Guy, right?
And The Fall Guy, yeah. So he definitely has a style, and it's really cool.
In fact, I think there's a clip from Atomic Blonde in The Fall Guy.
Ooh, I don't remember that.
The very beginning, I think, when they're doing like an homage to stunts and everything.
That makes sense. Because it's David Leitch, so
yeah,
he came from being a stuntman to being a really cool filmmaker. So yeah, it's a fun film, and the Steelbook is really cool. It has cool special features on it. Charlize Theron is in it, and she's really good. And there's a couple of fight scenes, because there's one right in the middle too where she's on a staircase, which is pretty sweet. And there's also, you know, other good actors that are scattered throughout it. And I just wish it took a little more advantage of its 1980s setting in the Soviet. I mean, there's some neon colors, but I want it to be like super neon and with the music, you know what I mean? But
yeah.
But it's still a fun movie, and it is cool to see it again. It's from 2017, and it doesn't seem like it's that old, but it is. And when you've been doing this for 13 years and seeing a movie once a week, then, you know, you forget how long it's been since you've seen a movie and when it came out. Because it all starts blending together. And that's what I saw this week.
Cool.
Next week, we are seeing Maxine, the trilogy capper on Ty West's X trilogy, or I don't know what the actual name of it would be called. I guess X trilogy. Excited for that one because I love the other two films in it. So, until next week, we'll see you at the movies.
Thanks for listening to Real Nerds Podcast, a Nebulous Visions production. Stream or download episodes, read articles at realnerdspodcast.com. Stream us on Apple or Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or iHeartRadio. Follow us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast. Twitter and Instagram, at Real Nerds. Watch us on YouTube, Real Nerds Podcast. Email us at realnerds@gmail.com. Call us at 720-6NERDS5. Thank you to Sparks Mandrill, Mike at Plan 9 Studios, and Bolognium for all of our groovy theme songs. And that's how you fucking do it!